So that brings me to talk about bevacizumab for a few minutes, and I want to briefly review the results from the ECOG 2100 study that was presented by Kathy Miller first at ASCO and then at San Antonio. So ECOG 2100 was a study for patients who had not received prior chemotherapy for metastatic breast cancer and randomized patients to receive either weekly paclitaxel or weekly paclitaxel plus bevacizumab. And technically, this patient probably would have been eligible for this study since it excluded patients who had had a taxane within a year, but not someone who had had a taxane within 14 or 15 months, if you believe that's terribly different. The patients on the trial have characteristics that would not be surprising to any of you, a median age in their 50s. About 40% of the patients had had a disease-free interval of less than 2 years, like our patient here, and a similar proportion had a fairly heavy disease burden with three or more sites of disease. A minority of the patients had received a prior taxane, less than a fifth in either arm. And of course, as you probably know, virtually all of these patients had HER2 negative disease, like our patient. What Dr. Miller presented at San Antonio this year, and the addition of bevacizumab to paclitaxel, essentially doubled the response rate, actually a little bit more if one considers just those patients who had measurable disease. And importantly, there was an approximate 5-month improvement in terms of progression-free survival, which was highly statistically significant with the addition of bevacizumab to paclitaxel. In terms of overall survival, when the data were initially presented at ASCO in May, there was the suggestion of a preliminary survival advantage. When presented in San Antonio this year, there was a numeric advantage, although if one is paying attention exclusively to a p-value less or greater than 0.05, this would not be considered a statistically significant survival advantage. I think it's going to have to be followed over time to see if, in fact, the addition of bevacizumab does, in fact, improve survival. What was new at San Antonio is that the ECOG investigators presented the benefit from a progression-free survival standpoint of bevacizumab across different subgroups. And in fact, it appears that bevacizumab was active in virtually all of the subgroups. And if you specifically want to look at patients who had ER and PR negative disease, there was a clear improvement in progression-free survival within that subgroup or the subgroup that our patient falls into. Now, it's important to keep in mind that when one looks at the ECOG study, that there was a prior study that, in fact, had far more disappointing results in women with breast cancer using bevacizumab. And this was the study that was also conducted by Kathy Miller that compared capecitabine alone versus capecitabine plus bevacizumab. That study showed a small improvement in terms of response, but no improvement in terms of progression-free survival or overall survival. And one might ask why those results were so different from the ECOG trial. It's possible that this was a chance finding, although I think that that's unlikely. It's possible that it's the use of paclitaxel instead of capecitabine, and there is preclinical work that suggests that there's synergy between the taxanes and bevacizumab. On the other hand, in another malignancy, that is colorectal cancer, bevacizumab has been combined very successfully with 5-FU. And of course, and I think quite importantly, there are differences in the patient populations. And in terms of those differences, in the capecitabine trial, the majority of the patients had received prior chemotherapy for metastatic disease. All had received some form of prior chemotherapy. All had received anthracycline and taxane, and somewhat different from the standpoint of HER2 and whether or not a patient had received trastuzumab. So what do we do here? This patient, in my mind, falls somewhat in between ECOG 2100 and the group of patients who were in the capecitabine trial. I personally would consider bevacizumab, but I'm not terribly enthusiastic about using it with paclitaxel, in spite of the fact that that was the regimen used in the trial, and in spite of the fact that technically she would have been eligible for that trial.